Welcome to the December and January edition of Heart to Heart. The Season of Christ by White Eagle. Throughout the ages, a teacher has come to earth to give the same teaching in different forms, and perhaps, who knows, it has been the same teacher in different manifestations throughout. Although materialism has been powerful, it has been unable completely to erase his message. This message will not be readily recognized by the materially minded. Even the festival of Christmas has largely been obliterated because eating and drinking, physical enjoyment and gaiety have obscured its inner meaning. Yet, we notice that at this season, love still persists in family gatherings, in family exchange of gifts and good wishes, and amongst friends. But the family spirit must expand and become universal, for then Christmas can become an initiation or an expansion of consciousness affecting great numbers of people. We do not mean only the actual season of Christmas, that is to say, the 25th of December of any year, although the opportunity is then perhaps greater. At any time when the soul opens to the Christ light is a Christmas initiation for that soul. Preceding this comes sometimes a period of darkness, of doubt and fear and depression, even as the dark night heralds the dawn. What is our brotherhood in its essence but an expansion of the family spirit? We look to the time when there will be established all over the earth other brotherhoods who meet for one pure ideal, and this to generate more of the light of Christ in their midst, and by love to spread that light. We have memories of such brotherhoods in ancient Egypt. Still their work endures. Still does the light they once sent forth bless and help others. They call to us. Hold high the torch. Let the light shine forth. Upon this foundation, and this foundation alone, will the structure of the new age be successfully built. And the old days of the brotherhoods of Egypt, India, China, and Atlantis be again revived, and the peoples of the earth guided into a promised land of light, of happiness. The Rays and the Evolution of the World by Simon Bentley. We could be forgiven for thinking that the first ray, commonly known as the ray of will and power, must be more active than any other at present. Looking around at all the war, all the conflict taking place in so many parts of the world, it is hard to think anything else. It must have seemed so during previous periods of major conflict, such as the World Wars, too. However, things are not always quite as they seem. We have already seen that many such conflicts originate from issues associated with the sixth ray. Many others are linked with the fourth, which will be covered in a future article. It is important not to judge ray activity purely by external appearances. What is truly significant is not so much the outward manifestation of a situation but rather the motivation behind it. This is different for each of the rays mentioned above. Although usually it is not quite that simple and involves a combination. Sixth ray influence can be seen in those conflicts involving ideals, in most cases either spiritual or political. The many crusades of medieval times fall into this category, motivated as they were by religious zeal. Fourth ray influence is involved when there is a genuine conviction that conflict is unavoidable in order to reach a situation of peace and harmony. First ray conflict is, at its roots, about progress, but often doesn't seem so. It is helpful to look back at historical first ray situations, which can be studied with the objectivity that comes from a safe distance, rather than concentrate too hard on the problems of today. If any one race or group of people epitomized the first ray, it was ancient Rome. The Roman civilization dominated European history and beyond for several centuries. Manifesting the first ray principles of will and power in almost everything they did. We may look back with very mixed feelings about what they achieved, but those achievements were impressive, far-reaching, and of major influence on what followed. We may remember them best as the warriors and conquerors that they undoubtedly were. But to restrict their reputation to that would be a great disservice to a great race. A group of well-known comedians who dominated British television and film comedy more than 50 years ago once posed the question, what did the Romans do for us? Many of us recognised and laughed at the humour and mock discomfort with which it was delivered. But beneath the laughs, a great truth was hiding. We would have a hard job thinking of any major field of earthly life and activity that the Romans did not influence, even if it was not recognised at the time, and many of those influences ended up being beneficial in some way, however long that took. Not for nothing do we speak of the Roman civilization, a civilization that became an initial template for so many nations that have sprung up during and since those times. A list of what the Romans did for us might start with a lesson on military discipline and conduct, but would soon extend to such matters as methods of government, justice, rights of the individual, free speech, then to other considerations such as ingenuity in day-to-day matters requiring scientific and common sense solutions. Of course, this doesn't change the fact that in those days life tended to be brutally hard and often short. But it set going. Major change wherever its influence reached. And that was a very long way. Subsequently, as the Piscean Age unfolded, Rome faded in significance, being much more a manifestation of the previous Aeretic Age, and the forces of religion took on a much greater part in world evolution. We now find ourselves facing another change of age, another period in which we have to adjust to major change, but in a new way, which will be influenced much more by the second ray than the first. If any of us doubt the wise influence of those masters and other beings that guide us and our planet, let us take note that were we to undergo another first ray burst now, the results might be catastrophic for one thing. Current science and technology have introduced so many temptations to stray off the path that didn't exist 2,000 years ago. Even if it doesn't seem like it, we are being protected to some extent while we move forward. Like all others, the first ray is around, but not specially emphasized at this time. The sixth is, as we have seen, fading in importance after its dominance in the Piscean Age. While the second, the love wisdom ray, is strengthening to guide us onto the path of the new age. Of course, this may sound simplistic. It isn't, but it is simple. While studying present conditions, it is wise to recognize the simplicity that lies behind the complications we make of it all. In view of this, it is interesting to note that, notwithstanding the fact that most of the current conflict in the world is arising in tandem with the gradual standing back of the sixth ray, there are several countries of major importance that are believed to have a strong first ray in their makeup. The UK and Germany are both considered to have first ray personalities. Looking at history, this is hardly a surprise, but it is also of great significance that both these two nations are now beginning to manifest their soul rays, second for the UK and fourth for Germany, more obviously. The area of life in which the first ray seems to be manifesting most clearly at present is in the tempting and testing of those who would lead and exert power, whether we are talking about nations and their leaders or ordinary individuals. Lessons are being learned about the dangers of absolute power, the strengthening second ray influence helping the world to find an antidote and encourage soft power rather than absolute power. Anything taking place that falls into the category of progress also has behind it some first ray motivation. The first is the ray representing God as Father. The key to the conundrum of why the first ray sometimes seems so destructive and dangerous lies not in the ray itself, of course, but in our ability to channel it correctly. Using the first ray safely requires that self is laid entirely aside. God the Father may be all-powerful, but is also absolutely selfless. Following that example is simple, but oh, how hard. A Christmas Message by White Eagle. The spiritual power of the sun, which is the unseen or spiritual essence of the visible or the material sun, is becoming greater with each passing day as you draw nearer to the 25th of December. Upon that day, you will keep the Christ Mass festival, as did the ancients before you. 3 days before that day dawns, a building up of spiritual force, of the spiritual sunlight, begins. In ancient days, we worshipped and adored the advent of the sun, because we were all sun worshippers. With the coming of the Christ, a beautiful and touching human story was coupled with the old festival of the sun. A story which has been told and retold down the centuries ever since. We want you to understand why at this season humanity becomes more sensitive, more open to the vibrations of angelic and planetary beings. Whether a person is a follower of the Christian Church or not, they will become imbued with the spirit of Christmas and celebrate according to their degree of mental and spiritual understanding, keeping their Christmas either by feasting and merriment or else by quiet joy and helpfulness to others. In any event, they must respond at this time to the great outpouring. The sun, it was believed by the ancients and by many today, has a spiritual counterpart. Therefore, it exerts both a physical and spiritual power upon its planets, including the Earth, and upon humanity. For this reason, stimulation of the life forces in the earth and in your body and mind, and above all in your spirit, occurs at Christmas time. In ancient days, the Brotherhood awaited this renewed baptism of the Spirit with reverence and prayer. Today, this spiritual stimulation finds expression in the desire to give gifts to one's friends and to lay aside past differences of opinion and celebrate this season in a spirit of goodwill, so that you will shake your brother or sister by the hand and wish them happiness at Christmas and for the coming year. This comes about because of the unusual gathering and generating of spiritual life force in the heavens, which is then poured forth upon humanity. Christmas will become doubly important in future years, for then the impetus will not come only at Christmas tide and then fade away for 12 months until the next Christmas dawns, but will be a sustained power which can awake people's hearts to the eternal light throughout the year. We will not speak at length. Words may destroy the power of the angels and above all, the power of the love of the Christ, which power is waiting to be enthroned in your hearts, in the lodge of your own being. Do you know what service means, dear ones? It has no touch of self. True service means true living so as to help all people, all creatures, on the upward spiritual arc of evolution towards the perfect happiness, perfect reflection of the blazing light of Christ. Then at last, we shall know that we must ever share our life with that of all people, that we cannot separate ourselves from others. If someone should be hurt, so are we also hurt. As he or she is joyful, so are we. Life for us has become at one with all. We live to serve, to see only good, only the development of the Christ in everyone, to be sympathetic, wise, and to go forward on our path, giving sunlight. For have we not held Holy Communion this day? For unto us a child is born, the Christ child in our hearts. Sunlight, the physical and spiritual source of life, by Jason Wilson. Can sunlight nourish both body and soul? We readily acknowledge sunlight as a physical life giver, but I sometimes wonder if we recognize as easily the power of the spiritual sun. At times, as I sit at my computer, my thoughts grind to a halt. My mood dips, my energy wanes. The remedy is often the same. I step outside and stand in the sunlight. Even on a wet winter's day, it is there, although some imagination may be required. Sometimes I open my arms wide and simply bask in the rays of the sun. It's a small gesture, but it never fails to lift me, not just physically, but spiritually. I am breathing in more than atoms of light. I am renewing my connection to the divine, to love. When I think of sunlight, I'm reminded how our ancestors saw more than brightness in the sky. They saw life itself. To them, the sun was a presence, a being that watched and warmed and guided. In ancient Egypt, they called it Ra, the sun god, whose daily journey across the sky symbolized creation, death, and rebirth. In Greece, Apollo carried the same meaning, light as sacred wisdom. I like to think that reverence still stirs somewhere within us, that the quiet sense of sunlight carries more than heat and light. I've come across many teachings that speak of a spiritual sun, a light not of the sky, but within us. That image resonates deeply with me, an inner radiance that nourishes the soul as sunlight feeds the earth. Teachers from many traditions describe a higher invisible sun, the true spiritual center that radiates wisdom and love. The 20th century mystic Peter Djurnov called the spiritual sun the heart of the cosmos, from which flows the energy of evolution. In the White Eagle teachings, there is a passage that feels especially meaningful. Behind all life as you know it, on the physical plane, is a center like to a blazing sphere of light or sun. The ancients worshipped that center of life as God, knowing in their souls that the light was only visible to man as sunlight, but knowing that behind the sun was an even greater power and light, and that to this invisible light, invisible to mortal sight, they owed their very existence. Understand then with your heart, with your feeling, that behind the visible light of the sun is something else, a force, a power, which holds you in a state of activity. To that power, you owe your life. Jason continues. Interestingly, modern science now echoes what our ancestors may have sensed intuitively. Sunlight is essential for our well-being. It sustains not only the body's life, but also the vitality of mind and spirit. On a practical level, sunlight helps the body produce vitamin D, supporting bone health, immunity, and mood regulation. Studies show that people with adequate vitamin D levels have better resistance to respiratory infections, improved mood, and reduced risk of chronic diseases such as osteoporosis and certain cancers. A dose of morning light steadies our inner rhythm, that quiet clock that keeps us in tune with life. This rhythm governs sleep, hormone balance, metabolism, and even emotional stability. Researchers at Harvard and the University of Colorado found that people exposed to 2 or more hours of daylight per day experienced better sleep quality, improved alertness, and lower rates of depression. No wonder we feel lighter on sunny days. Sunlight stimulates the release of serotonin, the brain's way of smiling from within. It's no coincidence that bright, clear days seem to lift our spirits, while long winters can weigh them down. Recently, I listened to a podcast where Dr. Roger Sehunt spoke about patients admitted to hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic. Those with naturally higher vitamin D levels showed better recovery rates than those admitted with lower levels. Following this discovery, some patients were given vitamin D supplements, yet their symptoms didn't improve as expected. It made me wonder whether something more subtle was at play. Some scientists suggest people with high vitamin D levels spend more time in natural sunlight, and that it might be the infrared radiation from the sun that acts at the mitochondrial level. When the sun is shining, perhaps we are receiving something more than sunlight. It seems to me sunlight may convey subtle energies beyond measurable nutrients, perhaps a deeper, life-giving resonance. The following passage from White Eagle confirms this. The light which shines from the sun is an illusion. This must be difficult for you to absorb, as it is difficult for us to get it over. There shines a spiritual illumination, a radiance from the sun, even as there is an aura to your physical body. But what you contact on the earth plane as heat and light is but a reflection and not that which it appears to be. Jason continues, physically, the sun is the heart of our solar system, a sphere of incandescent plasma radiating energy across 93 million miles to reach our planet. Every leaf, every breath, every heartbeat is powered by that energy. Through photosynthesis, plants transform sunlight into the sugars that sustain all terrestrial life. That same sunlight flows through us. Every atom of our being is indirectly lit by solar fire. The first quotation I mentioned in this article refers to the spiritual sun behind the physical sun. For a long time, I visualized them as two separate entities. Now, I'm beginning to sense they are inseparable, interpenetrating each other. Indeed, they are one. When we bathe in sunlight, we cannot but help be filled with the energy and vibration of both the physical and spiritual sun. Perhaps living in harmony with the sun begins with simple acts of awareness. Stepping outside, feeling its warmth, remembering its deeper meaning. Physically, it invites us to spend time outdoors, walking, meditating, or gardening in natural light. Sometimes I like to imagine breathing in the light, visualizing it filling and cleansing every cell of my being. When practical, we can use solar rhythms to align our daily life, rising with the sun, resting with dusk. Spiritually, it invites us to open our inner vision to the light of consciousness, recognizing every sunrise mirrors the soul's own awakening. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, as we approach the winter solstice, when the sun stands still, we look forward to longer days and the increased light. Have you noticed how happy people are when, after a few overcast days, the sun breaks through? We each have the potential to be a sun to those we meet. It is within our power to radiate light through our thoughts and actions, to be both a sun worshipper and a sunlight giver. In the sun's daily rising, we see the eternal promise of renewal. In its warmth, we feel the presence of love. And when we turn inward, that light within ourselves, we rediscover the same brilliance, shining quietly at the core of our being. Each time we turn to face the sun, it feels like joining the eternal dialogue between heaven and earth. A daily blessing reminding us that the light is not only around us, but within us. This is beautifully summed up by Annie Besant. She says, "The physical sun gives life to the body, but the spiritual sun awakens the soul." And by White Eagle, who also says, "As the physical sun sustains life in the body, so the spiritual light and warmth behind that sun sustains the spiritual life in humankind." Who Were the Wise Men? By Gay Robinson. White Eagle tells us that the wise men, or magi, were initiates, students of the ancient wisdom who studied astronomy and astrology. They were indeed wise people, as were all people who studied the ancient wisdom. The ancient wisdom schools were aware that conditions in the zodiac were all pointing to a major event about to happen on Earth. I believe, astrologically, the rays from Venus, the planet of love, harmony and beauty, were in a good aspect, and the wise people were so attuned to the angels on Venus, to the vibrations of Venus, to the rays pouring upon the earth, that they knew within their hearts that a very special soul was to be born onto the earth. The biblical story tells of three wise men coming from the east. In all religions, the east is significant. The sun, the light, rises in the east, passes over in the heavens, and sets in the west. The east, therefore, is the birthplace of the sun, of the light. Esoterically, this is quite significant. In other words, the three wise people came from the light. They were enlightened beings who had occult knowledge, people who had gone through the tests and trials of the earth and who, in their own right, shone with the light of love, wisdom and power. They followed the star. They followed their inner guidance. They came from the light, bearing gifts. For the one whom they knew would bring light to the world and was known as Jesus. The gifts they brought were gold, frankincense and myrrh. Why gold? Jesus, we are told, was a carpenter's son, so in a reasonably well-off family. So why gold? I will explore some possible reasons, but first, will you come with me on a journey to outer space, just for a minute. We're going back in time to 4 billion years ago. Imagine we are way out in the universe as observers when two stars collide. There is a ginormous explosion. The atomic bomb dulls into insignificance in comparison to this explosion. The collision creates this amazing light spectacular. The heat generated from the collision was immense and intense. Debris was hurled into space and eventually found its way to the upper layers, the mantle and crust of the Earth. This debris was gold. This really did happen. The gold was created by energy, heat and light. The properties of gold physically are this. It maintains its integrity. It is stable, i.e. doesn't break down. It can't be artificially reproduced, unlike pearls. It is hard to extract from the earth. We have to dig and sleuth for minimal rewards. On a spiritual level, the ancients knew that the vibration, the frequency of gold, had great healing benefits to humanity. After all, it was created by light. Gold adorned all the places of worship, so that the vibratory power of the golden metal might reflect into the hearts and minds of the congregation. The Egyptians were very aware of the healing value of gold. In Buddhism, the statues are mostly painted with gold, again immersing worshippers in the vibratory power of gold, of light. The gift of gold from the wise men was symbolic, I believe. They were bringing the light of God to this child, whom they knew to be a very special soul. The golden ray of light represents a ray of wisdom, of love, of strength, and the power which stimulates spiritual growth and unfoldment. This the wise men knew, and blessed Jesus with the gift of gold to strengthen within him love, wisdom, and power. They bring to us too the gift of gold, not only at the Christ Mass, but right through our life. And like the physical gold within the earth, we have to work hard to uncover and acknowledge the treasures of gold within our life and within others. Tempered with this, they brought the gifts of frankincense and myrrh. Frankincense, also known as Boswellia, grows wild in the regions of Somalia and Judea. It comes from scarring the tree, and the resin created is then harvested. It grows in the desert, in rocky outcrops, and the driest of conditions, and yet it produces this heavenly scent. When we physically inhale something that is heavenly and sweet, it has a softening effect on us. It can calm our emotions, our thoughts. It helps us to rise out of the mundane earthly life and rise in our thoughts and emotions to a better place. In other words, it inspires us to reach for our highest potential. The wise men were indeed wise in bringing the gift of frankincense to Jesus. They bring this gift to us too. Like the Boswellia tree, we all have scars from life events. We may feel we are in a desert emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, and our life may be rocky. Despite all this, we can still exude a heavenly perfume. That is, we can still be kind, loving, caring people. We can grow spiritually and overcome the trials and tribulations of our life, striving to reach our highest potential. Now, myrrh is an interesting one. Myrrh, like frankincense, comes from a tree. In this case, the tree is called African myrrh, and it grows in exactly the same conditions as the Boswellia tree. Myrrh resin is collected in the same way as frankincense. It too was used in ancient temple worship as a holy anointing oil for consecrating priests, kings, and the tabernacle. In Chinese medicine, it is used to move blood, i.e. to affect or move the qi or life energy, the life spirit, within every living thing. It was also used to anoint someone who had died, again moving the life energy, the spirit of that person, and freeing them from the bonds of the earth. Why then was myrrh given to Jesus as a gift? To do the work he was destined to do, his qi, or life energy, his life spirit, needed to be strong, healthy, and vibrant. He also needed to be free from the bonds of the earth, the bonds and limitations of the physical body, which set him free to perform miracles. It allowed him to rise in spirit to the heights, to be with his father, mother, God, even while in an earthly body. Again, we are given this gift of myrrh. We need to remember to use this gift so that we are not bound down by the physical body. I have a body, but I am not my body. We are not bound down by our emotions and our negative thoughts, so that, like Jesus, we can rise in our spirit to the heights of the heavens, to the light. What incredible gifts the wise men brought to Jesus of Nazareth and to each one of us during our lifetimes. This Christmas, shall we pause for a moment in our busy lives to meditate on the gifts the wise men and women in spirit bring to us every day? When the Wise Men Had Gone, by Anna Hayward. "Well," exclaimed Joseph the next morning, "what do you make of that?" Mary looked up across the baby's head as he lay on her chest. "I'm still thinking and recovering. First from the journey, I thought the donkey would bump the child out. Then the birth, by the way, I'm not going through that again. And then all those visitors well into the night when all I wanted to do was to sleep." "Do you think it's all over now?" Joseph asked, as he swept the floor and gave the oxen some water from the wooden pail by the stable door. Over the sound of contented slurping, Mary raised her voice. "No, I don't think it can be. Though to look at this milk-fed bundle, you would think the fuss was misplaced. How this scrap can command such visitations is beyond me." "Well, will we take notice of what those men said about which way to go?" replied Joseph thoughtfully. "Because we'll have to leave today, and it'll have to be on the donkey." "I was afraid of that," said Mary, wincing as she moved to get up. "So do you think we should? repeated Joseph, helping her stand, taking the baby, and looking not at Mary for an answer, but at the boy child wrapped tightly in his arms. At that moment, the child opened his eyes, and all the world was there in that stable, in that moment, in that gaze. "Okay," both Mary and Joseph said together, "I guess we do." Our service begins with White Eagle's gentle brother from Stella Polaris. "Never overlook your constant need of remaining calm, tranquil, and still within. You may be active with your hands, doing all kinds of work on the physical plane to give pleasure to those you love. But in spite of this, deep within you, you can keep still and tranquil. You can be at peace. You can look up to the angel throng. Catch the mystical spirit of the Christ Mass. Do not let the noise, clamour and excitement of mind and body overwhelm you. Do not fail to hear heavenly choirs singing out their joy, their praise and their thanksgiving to God for sending to earth the priceless gift of his own Son, his own Spirit, to save, to heal, to comfort and to bless. This is our Christmas message. Feel for yourselves the hush, the holiness of this spiritual baptism, this spiritual visitation. Think on these things, for they are eternal, they are true, and are given to you to help you on your journey through life. It may be that yours is a rosy passage. You may be wafted along on wings of love, or the reverse. Whatever your experience is, remember that you are being gradually guided along an eternal path of progress, ever growing spiritually, ever becoming more aware of the perfection of God's laws. Ear hath not heard, nor eye seen, the wonders which are prepared in that heavenly state to which surely, surely you are all moving forward. There is no death for you, only a change of state and a vision of spiritual growth and beauty opening up in your souls. Never look on the dark side. Always know that behind the scenes of life is this wise, loving power bringing good and more good and more good, bringing light out of darkness, bringing knowledge and wisdom out of ignorance. And so, with the blessing of all the shining ones, we leave you. We hope with joy in your hearts. Do not be pulled down by darkness and ignorance. Hope, faith, love, these three, but the greatest of all is love. And now our prayer for humanity. Let us remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day, and opened our hearts to the Father, Mother, God, and to Christ, the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love, and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power. And we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest heart, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death. A star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we hold within this great healing star all those who are in need. Especially those without food or water. Those who are afraid or in pain. We especially think of the people of Gaza and the people of Ukraine and Russia, the people of Sudan and the Congo. And now we hold within this great healing star anyone known to us personally to be in need of help or healing. Silently we name them now. And we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen. For our meditation, I invite you to think of a day when you've woken up to frost. To look out or go out into a frosty scene. With the rising sun casting shadows, blue and purple, and lighting up the frost with sparkles of colour. Sparkles of light. In our imagination, we are warm. Cozy. comfortable. And yet we can experience this glorious manifestation of light particles all over the ground and the trees. As if the light from the sun had come to earth much more. The light from the sun has come to earth. Imagine this light, this sparkling brilliance, as the sun of God. Now walking across this landscape before you, before us, even more radiant than a frost crystal, a brilliance of light which is also love. And warmth. Acceptance. Power and wisdom. See that figure manifesting, coming to earth again, coming to our hearts, coming to enfold us in the love of the divine creator. Coming to touch our hearts and awaken the sparkling, joy-filled light within. You may even feel his hand on your heart and the power of that touch. There is nothing that cannot be healed. We feel the glow from within now. That outward brilliance now at the heart chakra. Awake. And we sing with the angels. We open ourselves to the glory of that angelic choir. And our hearts are full of thanksgiving. when you are ready, just allow the inner vision to fade. It doesn't disappear from your heart. The Christ within is there always. And just draw your attention back to wherever you are in the physical world. Breathe in now with the physical sun. When you are aware of how your body touches the earth, then use the cross of light in the circle of light as an image in front of your solar plexus and your throat. Feel your whole being surrounded with that vibration of love through which only love can pass. Feel yourself strong in body, the body of earth and the body of light. Namaste. White Eagle ends this meditation with these words: a very blessed and happy Christmas to every one of you. The new year holds great blessing for all people. Goodbye.